072-702-1702.
It's 14 minutes to 9 o'clock. This is the Karima Brown Show. Now, the High Court in Pretoria has ordered that interviews with the candidates shortlisted for the post of the National Director of Public Prosecutions be open to the media and the public. The Right to Know campaign brought an application which was heard on an urgent basis to open up the proceedings. The presidency had opposed the application. We, of course, know that President Cyril Ramaphosa has until December 19 to appoint a new replacement for the ousted NPA head Sean Abrahams after the Constitutional Court found that his appointment was invalid. The court gave the president 90 days to appoint the replacement. I'm now joined on the line by Right to Know spokesperson Dale McKinley in light of the victory that they have had at the court. Now, the courts were quite emphatic. It said, in short, the public have the right to know how and why the president has selected a particular candidate over others to be entrusted with such enormous public powers and responsibility. Why was it so important for Right to Know to get this process to be open and transparent? Why does it matter to South Africans that we have access to this process?
Well, first of all, hi, Karina, and hi to your listeners. Thanks for having me on. It was very important for Right to Know to act because we felt that given the controversies, first of all, that had surrounded the whole process of the NDPP, and also the fact that we had been, you know, as a society, we've been essentially the secrecy that has surrounded many of the appointments of key positions in government have been shrouded in secrecy.
Yeah.
It was very important to try to establish a precedent, and particularly a legal precedent, that the, in this case, interviews or appointment processes must be open and transparent. Because if we look back at the last 10 years, much of our problems have resulted as a result of nobody knowing what's going on, nobody knowing who's being appointed, the reasons, the capacities, the competencies, and so forth. And without that information to the general public, and certainly to the media, we're unable to critically analyze, you know, the appointment process. And then we basically are in reactive mode, where once that person is in power, the damage is already done. And so it was very important for us to try to set this precedent, and we're very, very pleased that the judge has agreed in that regard.
Now, of course, you pointed out that other processes are open, for example, judges, and we've also have the situation of the public protector. In the case of judges, there's very specific legal questions that informs how the process happened. With the process in parliament, it's slightly different. There's political agendas at play. And we saw with the public protector, even though the process was transparent, it was by no means necessarily coming up with the right candidate. What makes you so sure that the process, if it's open and transparent, will give us the kind of person that we require to lead this organization?
Well, there is no guarantee, Karima, that's for sure. And as one of my colleagues earlier said on the radio, that, you know, transparency and openness is a necessary but not a sufficient condition for getting a good candidate. But so we're not, you know, you just talked about the 12 candidates. They might be the best ones, they might not be. We don't know because we haven't been privy to the process of selecting them. But in the context of what we have in front of us, it's very, very important, and I think that the process itself is important, that if, in case, you know, someone who is not qualified, who is not necessarily up to the standards, is appointed or at least recommended, then that can, the president in this case, who has that power, can be open to criticism as well as open to pressure. And if he doesn't, if we don't have transparency and we don't have openness, then we have no basis upon which to contest the process itself or to potentially reverse it. So it doesn't guarantee a good appointment, but it certainly guarantees a process that is good, a process that is open. And our Constitution basically provides us with those rights. Those rights, unfortunately, in our democracy have not been exercised very regularly. In fact, the opposite has been the case. So it's not simply important in terms of just disappointment. It's important in terms of an open and transparent process for all kinds of important positions, executive and otherwise, and particularly to check the power, in this case, of the executive which has been exercised almost unilaterally up until this stage.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. That is Right to Know's spokesperson, National Right to Know spokesperson, Mr. Dale McKinley. Mr. Vavi, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Karima, and thank you very much for having Shafku in your program.
Now, of course, Mr. McKinley made the case for process, which is important, and that it allows us a basis to question if questionable people are appointed. But it's not a guarantee for the candidate. I'm not sure if you heard my conversation with Karen Morn earlier. If you look at the candidates that are on the list, someone like Noko, Moiponi Noko, someone like Silas Ramahiti, shouldn't really be on that list, Mr. Vavi. How do we make sure that this panel actually use a set of criteria that makes us all comfortable that we're seeking the right person?
Thank you. I was listening to your conversation with Karen. With Karen, and you were spot on in raising that issue. Look, opening the process and guaranteeing the right of the citizens to monitor and to form opinions on the basis of the interviews that will be conducted doesn't guarantee that you're going to get the best person ever for the job. At that point, it should be taken into consideration, in particular with the experience of the current public protector who appeared to be impressing the people who had no information about many things that later came to the public. And who impressed lots of people and who had lots of people saying that black women will succeed another black woman and make this issue an emotional issue instead of a very objective criteria that will be used. We are very worried about the point that we are now raising, that a very questionable person, at least the director of KwaZulu-Natal, is a very questionable character. It makes you to wonder, because we can't know everybody in that list now. It makes you to wonder, what did this panel use as a criteria to shortlist these people, and how could a character like Noko and even Ramaita, for that matter, have been acting in that position over and over. You know that nobody have ever saw him being a fit person to take over the reins. And yet, he's now into the shortlist. We are very worried, we must say. We're quite worried.
Now, the fact that no National Prosecuting Authority boss has served his or her time out is, of course, also another concern. We spoke about the fact that these people need to have a certain set of legal and forensic and investigative skills, but they also have to have political nous because they operate in a political context. Mr. Vavi, if you were sitting on this panel, what kind of characteristics would you be looking for?
Fearless, but very professional. And look, we all in South Africa, and by the way, not one person can claim that he has not taken a position against and for this and that personality, this and that organization, or this and that finding of the High Court or Constitutional Court. We all living human beings. And therefore, you're not going to find somebody who have not taken an opinion wrong or right on a particular issue. But that person must be as objective as possible, must be definitely beyond any reproach, must be a professional beyond the description of the word.
Okay.
But in the context of the political environment, must be absolutely fearless. And a type of Vusi Pikoli with a little bit of technical approaches and who was absolutely fearless and could say no to the president of the country and stick by it, including when he have to be chased out of the position.
Okay, final question, Mr. Vavi, because we're running out of time. We saw today Malusi Gigaba supposedly falling on his sword, resigning from cabinet. Your reaction, and do you expect that there should be more to follow?
I think so. And I don't believe, by the way, Karima, that he voluntarily resigned. I think that he was shown the door. And he chose to save himself from an embarrassment. And if you judge by the interviews granted to the ENCA and Isolezwe, this was somebody who was simply mobilizing for public sympathy within the ANC, who was clearly coordinating some form of a fight back. And you can't suddenly, all of a sudden, think about an interest of the country. Where was the interest of the country when he was destroying the state-owned enterprises by deploying their inappropriate people with no skills?
Absolutely.
Having one criteria that they were linked to the Guptas.
All right, Mr. Vavi, I did say that was the last question. We're running out of time. Thank you very much. Secretary General at SAFTU, Zwelinzima Vavi.